الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله إلى كافة الناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. وعن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال: لما بعثه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن خرج معه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعاذ راكب ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمشي تحت راحلته، فلما فرغ قال: يا معاذ، عسى ألا تلقاني بعد عامي هذا، ولعلك أن تمر بمسجدي هذا وقبري. فبكى معاذ جشعا لفراق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم التفت فأقبل بوجهه نحو المدينة فقال: إن أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة المتقون، من كانوا وحيث كانوا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. In a hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu explains that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken a rest, and upon awakening, Sahaba radiallahu anhum had seen the effects, the imprints of the straw mat on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu inquired from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, will you permit me to make some soft bedding for you so that it may be comfortable for you when you sleep? It may not leave effects on your body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately turned his attention to the akhirah. And as is the habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he brings parables, examples in the Quran so that man may reflect, ponder and take benefit. So in the, likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that my example is like that of a traveler. In that time, the mode of transport used to be the backs of animals. So a traveler who's traveling in the desert on a lengthy journey, tiredness overcomes him, so he takes rest under the shade of a tree. In the desert, he stops for a little while in the shade of a tree. He takes rest, he wakes up and he continues his journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that this is his link to the dunya. Is of that of like the link the traveler had to the shade and to the tree. Like how the traveler took what benefit he needed and he continued his journey. He never attached his heart to the tree or to the shade, but he continued his journey. He took the benefit he needed to take. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no link to this world. He had no connection to this world. And if we take this example, we apply it in other times, in our times, then we are all aware that we are on a one-way journey to the Akhirah. Every single one of us is heading in the same destination. We are heading to such a destination whose address we do not know. And once we reach this destination, then there is no way to return, to come back. There is no return tickets available. If a person arrives at the destination and he finds that his accommodation he has at the destination is not what he expected, he finds himself at facing the door, the entrance to the torture cells of Jahannam, then there is no way he can upgrade his accommodation to the gardens of Jannah. There is no way he can book a return ticket, come back to this world, make amends for what he has done, and then continue return on the journey again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the destination such that, leave alone seeing any pictures or seeing any detailed description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Jannat, فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat are such that no ear has heard of it, no eye has seen these bounties, and the thought of these bounties, these ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hasn't crossed the mind of any person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a brief description of Jannat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ahadith, in many ayat of the Quran Sharif, we find descriptions of some of the bounties of Jannat. So a person may be inclined towards what comes towards Jannat, a person may work towards it. Likewise, Allah has sent a description of Jahannam, the tortures, the horrors a person will experience in Jahannam. So that a person sees this and he is encouraged, it makes him abstain from displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But man is so weak that despite seeing the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat, despite seeing that horrors which await us in Jahannam, man still displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world, if a person wants to relocate, he wants to move to a foreign country, or he wants to travel on a journey to a foreign country, then he will make all the necessary arrangements for his stay to be comfortable at that location. Whereas this journey we are on to the Akhirah, how much preparation have we made so that we may have a comfortable stay at our destination? Or in some cases, a person might have some family, some friends, some acquaintance to welcome him at the destination. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. That on the day of Qiyamah, once we reach our destination, then on that day, the link of the bondship, the kinship, the family relations which people had in this world, leave alone that relation, no one will even bother, or no one will even care to ask about the condition of another person. Everyone will only be concerned of himself, nafsi, nafsi. But the short life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in is so important that our entire stay at the destination depends on the preparation we made in this world, in this short life. The amount of taqwa a person adopted in this world, to that extent he will enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat. If a person did not attain taqwa in this world, then leave alone destroying his dunya, he will destroy his entire akhirat, his entire future. The Quran Sharif, from the beginning to the end, is full, it's replete of this lesson of taqwa. Ramadan comes every year, it brings with it this lesson of taqwa. Qurbani comes, it brings with it this lesson of sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it brings with it this lesson of taqwa. Hajj comes, it brings with it the lesson of sacrificing one's wealth, one's health for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificing oneself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus inculcating taqwa in one's life. But despite all these lessons which come to us over and over again, man is still so weak that we still need more reminders and reminders, but we do not take heed. And the reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the lesson of taqwa so many times in so many different ways is that this life is so short, and we have spent a long time in the alam arwah, in the realm of souls already. The time we have spent in this world, it has no comparison to the time which we will spend in the akhirah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us in another parable, مَالدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا كَمَا يَضَعُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِسْبَعَهُ السَّبَّابَةَ فِي الْيَمْ فَلْيَنْظُرُ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if a person is to place his fingertip in the ocean, once he removes his finger from the ocean, that moisture which remains on his fingertip is like the example of the length of the life of this world. And the water which remains in the ocean, that is the example of the extent of the life of the akhirah. Meaning there can be no comparison to that few drops, that moisture on the finger of a person to the water remaining in the ocean. That is how short the life of this world is. A person will only really understand the extent of the life of this world, its duration, once his eyes open on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That this Quran Sharif which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, full of the lessons of taqwa and full of lessons of how to live our life, it's only a means of benefit for those who have taqwa, those who make an attempt to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to abstain from sins. This Quran Sharif is a means of guidance for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that this Quran is a means of misguidance for many, and it is a means of guidance for many. How many a group from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, till our time, they engage in salah, they engage in the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, in lot of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but despite that their beliefs which they claim to be from the Quran Sharif have no basis in the Quran Sharif. They are misguided and they misguide others with them. So to attain benefit from the Qur'an, to take hidayat, to take rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Qur'an, we have to adopt taqwa, we have to have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, وَهُدَوَّ رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Quran is only a means of taqwa, a means of blessing and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are true believers, those who adopt the reality of taqwa in their lives. As Hazrat Mawlana had mentioned last night, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that destruction, woe be to those who perform salah. Those who perform salah in an incorrect manner, unmindful of their salah, destruction be to them due to the salah they perform. In a hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that a person who performs salah at the last time, he performs salah in a very haphazard manner. He remembers Allah in the salah, but he remembers Allah very little in the salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam termed this the salah of the munafiq, tilka salatul munafiq. So despite a person, he might have an outward appearance of a believer, but if a person doesn't adopt true taqwa in his life, he doesn't create a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person, all his ibadat will be of no benefit for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, this taqwa will benefit us in this world, in the akhirat, will make our life through this world easy. To create such a bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that cannot be breached, that cannot be broken, this is taqwa. But we have neglected our defenses against our enemy, we have let our defenses down, we have become friends with our enemy, with nafs and shaitan, to such an extent that our nafs and shaitan have become accustomed to defeating us, to just throwing some small bait and we fall for their bait, we fall for their traps. Once we start building our defenses of zikr, of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, of keeping the companionship of those who have a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who will point out to us our weaknesses, where our defenses are weak, where we need to make more effort to defend ourselves, to build up our taqwa, then in a short space of time we will find that we also have a strong, unbreakable link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two aspects of taqwa. The first, intithalu awamirihi. The first is to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which apply to us, to fulfill all these commands is half of taqwa. It's an integral part of taqwa. The taqwa demands that five times a day, every male presents himself in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Fajr, he leaves his bed, he leaves the warmth of his bed, he leaves his sleep for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is taqwa. Likewise, the remaining salah, all a person's dealings with people, a person's akhlaq, all the ibadat a person has to do, this is a part of taqwa. This is part of the ayat, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. O believers, adopt taqwa in your lives. The second part of taqwa, the second half of taqwa is اجتنابِ نواهيه, to stay away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from. If a person happens to live near a jungle, near a place, a jungle where there are wild animals, which are waiting to devour anything which comes in front of these animals, and the person will adopt every means to save himself from taqwa, to save himself from these animals, these wild animals which will devour him. Ulama explain that this is taqwa, that a person adopts means which will save himself from his enemy. Here, جَعْلُ النَّفْسِ فِي وِقَايَةٍ مِمَّا يَخَافٍ. A person places himself, he is proactive in preventing the attacks of his enemy against him. So as the person saving himself from the animals will build some high wall, he will implement different types of defenses, of safety measures against his animals. Likewise, a believer, he knows the avenues of sin, he knows those things which tempt him towards sin, he knows where he is prone to slip and fall and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his taqwa, his boundary, the wall which he will build between himself and the sin, is he will stay away from these avenues of sin. He will not let himself be tempted into these avenues of sin. He will keep far from these avenues of sin. This is taqwa, that a person builds between himself and the avenues of sin, such things which will make it impossible for him to commit that sin. Like how in this world, a person will install an alarm system. He will install an alarm system. Likewise, we need to install an alarm system to protect our iman, to protect the iman which is within our hearts. How the alarm system is connected to an alarm company. It has an unbreakable link with the alarm company. A person will make sure that even during load shedding, the alarm is connected to the alarm company, because he knows if his defenses have to be let down, he knows what harm he can suffer. Likewise, we also need to realize that if our defenses of taqwa are let down, even for a short period of time, what harm our iman will suffer. If we have an unbreakable link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the moment we detect any attack on our iman, and this is taqwa, this is what will assist us to remain on iman, to protect our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِن خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Like how a person employs security guards to protect his assets in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will appoint angels to protect the iman, the taqwa of those who have taqwa, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who make an attempt to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of their life. Allah will appoint angels in front of him, behind him, above him, to guide him when he is faced with any choice, between any decision, these angels will guide him. When nafs and shaitan try to harm him, try to tempt him towards evil, when they try to attack him, when they try to steal from the safe of his heart, to steal his iman, then these angels will protect him. Ulama explain that if a person has to slip or fall, then he dislocates some joint in his leg, his hand, then the treatment that is carried out, the means which a person adopts to treat this dislocated joint, is called traction. Wherein some pressure is applied and the joints are put together in how it's supposed to be. Likewise, when we slip and fall in the sins of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the traction which we should adopt to put our joints together, to rectify ourselves, is that firstly we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. We make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will never return back to the sins. And together with that, we will adopt these measures of taqwa. We will stay in righteous company. We will keep ourselves in such company which reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which keeps our connection strong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith which was recited in the beginning, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accompanying Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accompanied him until the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And after advising him, giving him lengthy advices, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him, Ya Mu'adh, Asa an la talqani ba'da aami hadha. O Mu'adh, perhaps you will not meet me after this day. La'allaka an tamurra bi masjidi hadha wa qabri. Perhaps when you return to Medina Munawwara, and when Nabi of Allah says perhaps, it means that definitely this will occur. When you return to Medina Munawwara, you will pass by this masjid, you will pass by my qabr in this masjid. فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعًا لِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu immediately couldn't control himself. He burst out crying in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatun lil alameen, he was sent as a mercy to mankind. He couldn't bear looking at the face of his sahabi crying due to the separation. The separation which was bound to happen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave this world, and sahaba radiallahu anhum had to leave the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the short period in the qabr. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face to the direction of Medina, so that he doesn't see the face of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu in this condition. And he advised Mu'adh radiallahu anhu that, Ya Mu'adh, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسَ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلْمُتَّقُونَ مَنْ كَانُوا وَحَيْثُ كَانُوا. That O Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the person, those who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah in Jannah, are those who adopt taqwa in their lives, those who fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are proactive in employing defensive measures against the attacks of nafs and shaitan. These are the people who will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. So the separation is bound to happen. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him advice how he can remain continuously, eternally in Jannah, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the people who are close to me in this world physically, those who feel that they are very close to me are my family. But those who have taqwa, no matter who they may be, no matter what nationality they may be, no matter where in the world they may be, no matter how much honor they enjoy in this world, no matter what condition they live in this world, But if they adopt taqwa on the day of Qiyamah in Jannah, they will be the closest to me. There will be no separation between us after we leave this world. This is the benefit of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoling us, giving us some encouragement. Allah says that not only this ummah, but every ummah which came before you was also given this advice, given this wasiyah that adopt taqwa in your lives. The same command is given to you as well, that adopt taqwa in your lives. You will be successful in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirah. And an easy way for a person to adopt taqwa, to keep up his defenses against sins, against nafs and shaitan. If a person always challenges himself, that how long can I keep my connection unbreakable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For how long can I keep this connection with Allah, that every action I am doing, every glance I am casting, every word I am uttering, every letter I am typing, how I am aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Whatever I am watching, the gaze of Allah is on my gaze. The attention of Allah is on my heart. Allah knows what is going through my heart. Allah knows what my condition is. If a person is in this condition, he will never disobey a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know how weak we are, how many years we have been living, but how much time of our life have we spent in this condition with an unbreakable link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going forward, to bring this in our life, to build up this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to keep it unbreakable, if a person has to keep himself in good company, that company which reminds him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as explained in a hadith, that when you look at such a person, he reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have to find such people who will guide us to keeping this connection strong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is the most fortunate in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us taqwa and save us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan.